Boston Marathon trial.
The fight over jury selection is really a fight about the death penalty.
Plane crash survivor could be key in investigation.
The bravest kid I ever seen in my life.
Midwest deep freeze.
Wind chills 50 degrees below zero.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, the legal wheels begin to turn today in the Boston Marathon bomb case with jury selection and the trial of the surviving suspect. Our coverage begins with CBS's Don Daler in Boston.
Zohar Tsarnaev faces dozens of charges, ranging from four counts of murder to using a weapon of mass destruction. The evidence against him includes eyewitnesses and surveillance video, which allegedly put him and his brother at the scene, forensic evidence, as well as statements which prosecutors say implicate him. CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
The defense team is looking for one thing only here, and that is to save his life. It's not a question of whether he will be proven guilty or found not guilty. They are looking to avoid the death penalty.
I'm Heather Bosch in Boston. A survivor of the blast, Heather Abbott, says she's anxious for this trial to get underway.
It's hard to know what to expect.
But justice takes time. Selecting an impartial jury in the state where the bombing took place could take weeks, criminal defense expert David Hoos.
I think it's going to be terribly difficult to find people who have not been emotionally affected by the incident.
Larry Mackey helped prosecute and convict Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. He says it can be done.
There are a lot of judges and wise people who say, if you give me enough jurors and if I ask them enough questions, I can find a fair amount of jury.
Even in a case that's left so many nerves here raw.
I'm certain it'll bring up, you know, a lot of emotions.
Heather Bosch, CBS News, Boston.
In Milford, Pennsylvania, a court hearing is set for today for the man who's accused in the ambush last September that left a state trooper dead. Eric Freen was caught after a 48-day manhunt. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty in that case. Now to Long Beach, California, where police say they found the body of an infant girl who'd been kidnapped over the weekend. Her body was found in a dumpster behind a San Diego County strip mall. She disappeared Saturday night after her parents and uncle were shot and wounded at a home. This woman carried a candle for the child at a vigil.
It's a light to shine for that little girl who did not have a voice. She was 3 weeks old.
Police say they're looking for a male suspect in the case. An investigator calls 7-year-old Sailor Gutzler a remarkable young lady. The Illinois girl survived the Friday night plane crash in Kentucky that killed her parents, sister, and a cousin. Police Lieutenant Brent White says she walked a mile in the cold to get help.
She navigated briars and bushes. She navigated significant depth ditch lines in order to receive assistance for her family.
Now officials hope she can help in the investigation. The plane's wreckage was removed from the wooded area yesterday. In the upper Midwest, a harsh wind is howling. That is making a brutal Arctic blast in from Canada downright dangerous. Minus 28 with a 40 below wind chill in International Falls, Minnesota this morning. This woman works at a gas station there.
When people come in, they've usually take off their jackets, and they have, like, two sweatshirts on underneath, two pairs of mittens, extra pants, extra socks. We're bundled up.
It felt like 25 below in Fargo, North Dakota, just before dawn, just below zero in Chicago. The bitter cold air heads south and east over the next few days. Stormy weather in the south yesterday spawned a tornado in tiny Alma, Georgia.
I heard a bunch of noise. Run outside, stand on the front porch. The funnel cloud started touching down.
Fireman Chris Braddy says it tore up a mobile home with two people inside. Assistant Chief Scotty Boatwright.
It was just chaos. Once we arrived on scene, debris everywhere.
Both people in that mobile home were hurt, one seriously. Better weather today helped the ocean search for the wreckage of the Asia Air flight that crashed more than a week ago, killing all 162 on board. CBS's Alan Pizzi is covering.
Ships with special equipment for detecting their telltale pings are scanning an area where five large pieces of wreckage were detected over the weekend. The USS Fort Worth is equipped with what's called towfish side scan sonar.
To give us an image on the sea bottom, we can find things as small as a golf ball or, of course, something as big as an airplane.
The hunt for bodies and debris on the surface has been widened to account for an eastward current. A Royal Malaysian Navy ship collected a bag with shoes and a pair of glasses, poignant reminders that nearly 130 people are still missing.
The latest propaganda video from ISIS terrorists shows a British hostage as a kind of a tour guide.
Hello. I'm John Cantley, and today we're on top of the world in Mosul.
A British journalist seen in a video designed to show that life is going on normally in that city in northern Iraq. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
It doesn't look like he's under duress, first and foremost. This is clearly designed to give this message that ISIS is in control here. It's responsible for security. It's responsible for the medical condition. It's responsible for the power, electricity.
In Iraq yesterday, Australia's prime minister said his country's determined to continue to support Iraq's government in the war on terror. Most of us know lie detectors from TV crime dramas. A new one that's been developed may put the polygraph out of business. Live to CBS's Vicky Barker.
Every parent who's ever caught their kid in a lie was likely tipped off by some telltale fidgeting. Now, British and Dutch researchers have developed a machine that monitors the subtle, full-body motions that indicate guilty feelings. They say it's already achieving 70 to 80% accuracy, compared with the polygraph's 60% reliability. If further tests confirm that rate, this new lie-detecting bodysuit could reach police stations within a decade. Steve?
Well, she lived in New Jersey, but as of today, a federal prison in Danbury, Connecticut will be Teresa Giudice's home.
Here I am throwing a dinner party, and then she tries to disrespect me in front of my friends. I was just so done with her.
The star of TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey begins serving a 15-month sentence for bankruptcy fraud. She and her husband admitted hiding assets from creditors and submitting phony loan applications. He faces immigration issues. In Charlotte, the home of Panthers head coach Ron Rivera was heavily damaged by fire this morning. Rivera and his family escaped unhurt. There's no word on the cause. His team is still alive in the NFL playoffs after a weekend win over Arizona. With the new year comes a new Congress. CBS's Tom Foti takes a look.
When the new Congress is sworn in tomorrow, Republicans will be in full control of both houses for the first time since Barack Obama's been president. That's not lost in the goals of the new Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, who was on CNN's State of the Union.
We need to do everything we can to try to rein in the regulatory onslaught, which is the principal reason that we haven't had the kind of bounce back after the 2008 recession that you would expect.
Part of that will be an effort to force approval of that controversial oil pipeline from Canada. Democrats still see that as a non-starter to be vetoed. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
A wake will be held today for one of the leading politicians of his day, New York's Mario Cuomo. The three-time governor died last week at 82. At NFL and NBA games yesterday, players and fans paid tribute to Stuart Scott, the ESPN personality with a distinctive style, died of cancer at 49. And that's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.